Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Of course, our YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out there as the GM meetings in Major League Baseball wrap up. The stage has now kind of been set for the offseason, which probably will include a lot of trades. The Soto sweepstakes will take on a life of its own. Unfortunately, it does not sound with the words coming out of the GM meetings like the Phillies are one of the top suitors. They really think they're going to be fully invested in this. That I find disappointing. I find it unacceptable. But it also doesn't mean they can't have a good offseason without Juan Soto. It just has to go in a different direction. So how are they going to build this team? And what are they going to do? I find it interesting that as we come out of the GM meetings, one of the biggest names connected to the Phillies is Garrett Crochet, the left-handed starting pitcher from the Chicago White Sox. We were doing a podcast talking about him at the MLB trade deadline. The Phillies and Dodgers reportedly were the two biggest suitors and the two most aggressive suitors to go get Crochet at the deadline. Neither did. He requested an extension if he was going to pitch in the postseason. That's why, a part of the reason why a trade didn't get done. They shut him down. He ultimately pitched that many innings down the stretch of the season trying to preserve him. He's a tremendous young pitcher who has tremendous upside. And now, as the Phillies are being reconnected, then it was the Dodgers and the Phillies. Now it's the Dodgers, the Phillies, the Mets, the Red Sox kind of seemingly involved in this. As we circle back, I'm wondering, and I think the Phillies are wondering, if they should pull off a blockbuster deal for Garrett Crochet. So today I want to go through some of the pros, the cons, the player, the reality, what it would cost, and how they could build a team differently with a player of Crochet's caliber rather than spending their resources this offseason to go get a big-time bat through a trade or through free agency. So let's go through it, okay? So I think the number one thing to talk about is how good is Garrett Crochet? And the answer is he's outstanding. He's 25 years old. He's coming off a season in which he threw 146 innings, struck out 209 batters. He nearly led baseball in strikeouts with less than 150 innings pitched. That's how good he was. 3.58 ERA. His fielding independent pitching was 2.69. So he pitched even better than his numbers. His whip was 1. His hits per 9, 7.6. He only walked 2.0 per 9 for a strikeout pitcher with nasty stuff. That's incredible. 12.9 strikeouts per 9 innings. He had a 6.33 strikeout to walk ratio. So last season, in total, the guy was a phenomenal, phenomenal pitcher. I mean, as good as you could have on the mound last season across Major League Baseball. I mean, he was worth last year 4-point wins above replacement, and he's only, again, 25 years old. So we're talking about someone who turned the corner and became a special pitcher. Now, this is not shocking. He was the 11th overall pick in the 2020 draft. So I don't think anyone should be surprised coming out of the University of Tennessee that he got good. But he had a career that was kind of derailed. He only, his first three pro years, he pitched 6 innings in the major leagues in 2020 right away. He pitched 54 in 2021 to a 2.8 ERA, and he looked really good. And then he got hurt, missed all of 2022, right? And then he comes back at 23, and he pitches 12.2 innings, 12 and two-thirds innings in the major leagues, erratic control, and then last year he bounces back and he's great. So the question is, can you count on this? Is this what it's going to be? It feels to me like he's a Cy Young winner in waiting, that he has that kind of ability. We'll see if he can do it year in, year out. But there's obviously tremendous upside with this pitcher. You saw it already last year. So he's really, really, really good. I think you can make a case he's a top 10 pitcher in baseball heading into next season, and it's only going to be about health and keeping him healthy. But last year, really, he didn't get banged up again. They just backed off a little bit because of the innings and trying to protect him. Obviously, the White Sox stink. They're one of the worst teams of all time. They're trying to protect their asset for a trade. So we could check one box. Is he dynamic? Yes. Is he a great, you know, potentially a great pitcher? Yes. Now, the question is the cost. According to the reports, the Phillies balked at the cost of Andrew Painter for Garrett Crochet last summer. And I agreed with them then. I agree with them now. I would not trade Andrew Painter for Garrett Crochet. I think Andrew Painter has a chance to be better than Garrett Crochet. When I watched Andrew Painter for the first time, I felt like I was watching a young Justin Verlander. That's how great I think Andrew Painter could be. So now I'm dreaming of the Phillies kind of pairing Andrew Painter and Garrett Crochet as their future rotation. And they have, you know, Wheeler for a little bit longer. They have Nola, obviously, for a while longer. But, you know, eventually those two guys will transition out of being the 1-2 of a rotation, especially Nola. I think Wheeler's going to hang on for a little bit longer in terms of the next couple of years. Nola might transition more in these next few years to more of a mid-tier starter, and that's okay. I mean, I wouldn't have want to pay him that much for being a mid-tier starter, but that's okay. It's nice to have someone that's reliable like Aaron Nola. But if the Phillies want to kind of replenish and change the top of their rotation, you think about what they had in 2022 when they made the World Series. I can envision why they might envision, hey, Crochet and Painter, that's our ticket 2026, 2027, 2028 to, you know, a division championship or a run in the playoffs, and the back of those two arms, away we go. So I could see that. Now, as far as the cost goes, again, I'm not trading Andrew Painter for him. I'm just not doing it. But the Phillies have to make a decision on, you know, the Phillies really have a lot of decisions to make this offseason, but one of them being how much they're trying to prioritize 2025 and capitalizing on the window they have left with Schwarber and Real Muto, Bryce in his prime, Trey Turner before the full decline hits, Wheeler before decline hits, and how much they're trying to kind of bridge now and the future. And what I mean by that is Bryce is going to be here a long time. Okay. So I think they want to, and Bryce should be good for a while. So I think the hope is to compete now, win now, win a championship now, but also not fall off the cliff post 2026 to the final years or the end or the back half or whatever you want to say of Bryce's career. Can they incorporate a Justin Crawford and Aiden Miller and Andrew Painter? Add that to the mix of what they have with an older Bryce and have a different kind of competitive team in the second part or the last third of Bryce's time here. I think that's it's a challenging balance, and I think it's going to be, we'll find out, because the way the Phillies operate in the trade market this year will tell us. They're not going to get Crochet without it hurting in terms of prospect costs. They're not. And if Painter's off the table, then Miller's got to be on the table. I mean, if I'm the White Sox, that's what I'm saying. You're not getting this guy unless I'm getting one of your top two guys in your system, whether you're star pitcher or your star hitter. So the cost is going to cost a lot because they'll have other options. I mean, it's as simple as that. It's not a matter of, well, it's not a blanket, would you trade Aiden Miller for Garrett Crochet? And you could say, Joe, no, I love Aiden Miller. You know, I heard someone say he's the greatest prospect we've had since Mike Schmidt, blah, blah, blah. That's fine. And I, in a vacuum, I understand that. And I'm not going to even yell at you for it or say, that's crazy. I think it's a fair statement to say you don't want to trade Aiden Miller for Garrett Crochet. I think it's also a fair statement to say you don't want to trade, you know, Andrew Painter for Garrett Crochet. The Phillies obviously had that stance back in July. That's fine. Then we're not getting him. Then the Phillies will not get him. He'll end up a Met. He'll end up a Red Sox. He'll end up a Dodger. You know, whatever. He'll go to one of the other teams that is right now in it.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I just want to read you a little bit of the Baseball Tonight podcast back and forth, Buster Olney and Jeff Passan this year, or the couple days ago, this week. And this is all during the GM meetings. Olney said he thinks Crochet is going to be the most talked about guy in the trade market. I think it's a slam dunk that he's going to be traded. Two teams I'm watching in this are the Mets and the Red Sox. And then he asked Jeff Passan, tell me what you know about Garrett Crochet. And then he talks about elbow surgery. He was a reliever, but then he started games. Mets could use him. Red Sox could use him. Orioles could use him. Everyone can use a Garrett Crochet. And then the end of the quote, I wonder about a team like the Phillies too. And then Buster says, as you know, the Phillies are one of the three finalists at the deadline. And then Passan says he wonders if Dombrowski would include Andrew Painter. I don't think he would. I wouldn't. Would he include Aiden Miller? We'll see. But that's the cost. And if the Phillies are willing to pay it, they have the right prospects to get the guy. Now, extension. This is where it becomes a little tricky. He wanted an extension to be traded last year. Otherwise, he was going to pitch in the postseason. That bothered me at the time. Obviously, he's trying to take care of his body and his future. It's a Josh Hader kind of thing. Would a team give him an extension upon arrival? I don't know. He only has, in his career, 219 innings under his belt, a 3.29 ERA. It's not like it is a huge, huge sample of what he's been. It's hard for me to even think about what the extension could look like because there's not much out there in terms of who he reminds me of. I'm trying to, like, you could come up with a lot of different ideas for what an extension could look like. You know, I'm going to try to look up a couple names here. Pitching contracts. I mean, Tyler Glasnow with the Dodgers, that's an interesting one because he's a guy that had a lot of injuries. He signed a five-year, $136 million contract with the Dodgers. Now, he was a little bit further into his career. He had done a little bit more. But I think that's interesting enough that we could kind of throw that on top of the mix. He's got 2 years left of arbitration. I would say something like, let's say it's a five-year extension, okay? Or they rip up the deal and they make it a five-year deal for Garrett Crochet. You buy out the arbitration years left, which I believe we're talking about the two arbitration years left, 2025, 2026. Let's say he would get $5 million this year, and then he would get $11 million the next year. That's 16. Okay, 16 for the first two. Let's say you bump that up a little bit. You go 18. Let's say you go 20 for the first two. So a 2 year 10, and then you buy out three years in free agency. You know, we could be talking about 5-1-10. 5-1-10 kind of deal for Garrett Crochet in an extension. I think that's maybe a fair number to throw out there. So that's the potential extension if they want to go that way. All right, now to the red flags. The injury is obviously a red flag. The surgery he had, the missed season he had, it's all a red flag. The other red flag I have, and I question how he would survive a market like this and a crucible like this, is last year he did not want, when the trade stuff was going down and it became public, he said he wouldn't pitch in the postseason if it wasn't for an extension before he got on the mound. It's a little me, it's a little selfish, it's a little I before team type of thing, no I in team. I don't love it. I don't love it. It strikes me as Josh Hader not want to pitch, you know, in the eighth inning back when he was with San Diego, Milwaukee, and teams had a kind of manage around it. I don't love that. It doesn't mean he's not a tremendous pitcher. It doesn't mean he wouldn't help the Phillies win a lot of baseball games. I don't love that. I consider that and the injury history a red flag. Now, you're probably wondering, if the Phillies do this, how do they acquire enough offense? Because we think offense is probably a bigger need than pitching. Well, they also are down two relievers. Taiwan Walker stinks. You don't know what you get out of Painter this year in terms of innings. And Ranger Suarez, second half of the season, was really bad. So the way I view it right now, you really only have three things you could count on the rotation. You have Wheeler, you have Nola, and you have Christopher Sanchez. Everything else is a question mark. Ranger's a question mark. I'm not even counting Taiwan. Painter's a question mark for how much he'll provide next year. Not how good he is, but how much he'll provide. So you have question marks throughout the rotation. The Phillies are trying to build this a different way. They could try to secure starting pitching and then build off of that. Secure innings. Secure, really good quality innings and then go from there. So they could do a rotation of Wheeler, Crochet, Nola, Sanchez, Painter. And you kind of piecemeal that fifth spot together with Painter and anything else you could find out there on maybe a one-year deal. Then they can move, let's say, Ranger Suarez to the bullpen. Maybe Ranger, as the Phillies have some holes in their bullpen, goes back to a relief spot. And maybe he becomes a weapon. I remember there was a guy the Yankees used to have back there, Ramiro Mendoza, who used to be able to go from their starting rotation to the bullpen back and forth. He was a good pitcher. And, you know, there's different guys like that. Dodgers have done this before with starting pitchers. Where they go back and forth. You know, Ramiro Mendoza, I'm looking at some of his numbers right now. You know, he had seasons where he would vacillate between, I'll give you 1999, okay? 1999. He threw, let me give you this. I'm going to give you a grouping of years. This is a good spot. 99 through 02. Ramiro Mendoza was a New York Yankees pitcher. He pitched to a 3.94 ERA, which in the steroid era was good for a 1.17 ERA plus. Okay, so well above average. 3.90 FIP. In those years, he started 17 games. So over the four years, he started 17 games. Spot starts when they need him, whatever. He finished 40 games. He had 185 games pitched. So I guess 168 out of the bullpen. Averaged, you know, whatever that is, you know, about 40 plus out of the bullpen per year, and then is, you know, maybe four or five starts per year to add it all up. He averaged in those years about 95 innings pitched per year because he was kind of that long man spot starter guy. And he was a really solid major league pitcher. Rarely gave up home runs. He didn't walk many people. He's a good pitcher. And maybe that's Ranger Suarez. Maybe instead of him becoming a full-time starter as the years go on, you kind of back off him and you make him a reliever. You could do that. You could also use Ranger in this example as a trade piece. Maybe the Phillies subtract from their farm system to get Crochet, and then instead of going into the farm system again, they use Ranger as a trade piece. You know, if you call the St. Louis Cardinals up and you try to build a package around Ranger to go get, let's say, a Brendan Donovan, who is one of the guys I desperately want this offseason to be the left fielder, you know, or, you know, I just want Donovan on the team, a left field, second base, whatever they want to do, I'm good. I'll put him at second. I'll put Stott at short. I'll put Trey in the outfield. Yeah, that doesn't really matter to me. But get Brendan Donovan here to be a contact and non-strikeout guy in the lineup, I would love that. So maybe there's different ways to build this baseball team, and you build it starting with the starting rotation, and then you go from there. You know, Dubrowski, towards the end of his Tigers time, he had Anibal Sanchez, he had Doug Fister, he had Scherzer, he had Verlander. He built it with four big-time starting pitchers. He's already got two highly priced starting pitchers. They made the commitment to Christopher Sanchez. They've got Andrew Painter in the pipeline here. They could do this. And then, you know, you get to October and you could do it like the Dodgers. Who cares what your role is? I need to get 27 outs three times in the LDS. I need to get 27 outs four times in the LCS. I need to get 27 outs four times in the World Series. How do I do that? Well, I use my best arms and I mix and match. Crochet and Wheeler and Nola and Painter and Sanchez. And then what you build on the bullpen. So, yes, I mean, in conclusion, I would absolutely go after Garrett Crochet. I think there's different ways to build the baseball team. I'd want Juan Soto above everything this offseason. But if not Soto, am I in on the idea of Garrett Crochet? Yes, even with the red flags, I would not trade Painter. I'd be up for anything else to get Garrett Crochet into Philadelphia and build this team a little bit a different way. Appreciate everyone listening. Subscribe and follow on the podcast. Of course, our YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there. NFL picks in your feed on Saturday morning. Thanks so much for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.